Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon. Right here is...
My name's Aura.
That's Aura. And behind the glass over there, we've got Andrew running the show again this week. Last week we missed him, but we're glad to have him back. I try to run this show kind of off the cuff, but then kind of planned. Now, Aura's always got papers thrown about in front of him. This is what he wants to talk about. This is what he wants to talk about. Kind of a bummer because we often don't get to it. And so he's got papers that are like 4 weeks old. But we're going to get to a bunch of that stuff today. We want to talk about... truth in advertising, which is something we've touched on in the past. Aura basically has touched on that. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We also want to talk about, I think, used games trading is another thing. I don't know if we're going to get to that part because I got a bunch of things to talk about too. But that's another one we've got up our sleeves, if not for this week, then for another time.
Yep.
Now, you can always tell me which ones are most important to you. We can gauge what you want to talk about.
Hey, they're all important, and actually like having this backlog because then I don't have to think of more ideas.
That's good. Yeah, it's kind of like writing for a comedy show minus the comedy. All right, moving on. If you guys want to talk to us and tell us what you think would be the best thing to talk about, you can always go to chatterboxgameshow.com and join in the live chat. I actually I started it and then never actually opened it up, so I'm not sure who's in the chat. We can go in there and see right now. Anyway, I need to talk about Sony. I've touched on in the past on how I think they're very irresponsible in their release of the PlayStation 3. Touched on. Really, barely, right? And I want to get some more feedback from other people, but there's a few things. And so we're going to talk about that. First off, though, a little light chatter here on the Chatterbox. Feel free to chime in about any of the topics we cover, by the way. 866-536-1100, and you can call in live if you're listening live. I'm going to talk about the Wii. You want to talk about the Wii as well.
Yeah.
I'm also going to talk about a little bit of PlayStation 3. Now, last week before the show, you and Nick came over, and we played a little bit of the Wii, right? We didn't play PlayStation 3, but you had played PlayStation 3, like, the day before or something, right?
Right.
For, what, 5-10 minutes we played Resistance, Fall of Man?
Yeah, pretty much, basically. Yeah.
All right, so...
And I wasn't too impressed. I was just like, okay, you know, whatever, here's a shooter, all right, there's
When
things.
I played it with you, I was not nearly impressed at all.
Yeah.
Right? But then Thanksgiving rolled around, and I had an extra day off, a good three-day weekend. And you would expect 4 days, but no, I work on Sunday. So I basically spent 3 days just playing video games and sleeping, essentially. Not a whole lot of eating, not a whole lot of washing, just playing video games and sleeping. And so I played through almost all of Resistance one night and finished it up the next day. Good times. I got to tell you, I was playing the whole thing wondering... What is it about this game that makes me want to keep playing it? Because I can't quite figure out why I'm enjoying it.
Because it's the stellar new graphics?
You know, it was less the graphics and the completeness in detail of the levels, I think. But seriously, like, I'm not trying to say it was some amazing game. Because honestly, like, it was very run-of-the-mill as shooters go. But for some reason, I was compelled to keep playing it. And I kind of think it was storyline, which goes back on something that we talked about in the past, about how story really... doesn't belong in a game a whole lot.
Well, I do admit that it's something that will keep you playing over and over and over. You know, the bad part is like, okay, well, you know, what if this, you know, this is somehow a chore now. You're like, I want to find out what happens next, but, you know, I got to get through this. Like, I have to do these tasks to see the story.
Well, exactly. And I feel kind of embarrassed that I continue to play the whole thing. But then, here's the great part. Here's a bit of insight into my insanity. Finish the game. And it gives you a little tease. It says, oh, now since you beat it once, you've unlocked new weapons for your next time through the same game. So I immediately, without pause,
nice.
Start playing the same game over again from the beginning. It's like rewinding and watching Barney over again.
I think they kind of did the same thing in Ratchet and Clank. When you pretty much finished the game, you got like these super uber versions of all the weapons and...
No, you finish the game, and they say when you start over again, there are new weapons.
So
and I had to play through the whole first level, essentially, well, half of the first level, before I got the first new weapon, which really is fine that they didn't start you off with it, but still, surprising nonetheless.
So you were more than happy to give in to their demands.
I I don't know what it is. I don't know if, like, something weaseled its way into my brain. Like, this game involves little roach-like creatures going into the oral and nasal passages of people and then infecting them with viruses and they go into a coma and stuff. And I feel like something, like, weaseled its way into my head and made me decide that I wanted to keep playing the game because I couldn't figure out what was so good about it.
That's very sinister.
Not even what was so good, what made me want to keep playing. And there was an online, there's like a 40-player online you can do this. Didn't even try it. And I started playing the single player over again.
Actually, that's another topic we should talk about a different time. Is like, why are we driven to play a lot of these games just over and over and over, even where we're just like, eh, well, it's all right, you know? Yeah. And then we're just like, got to keep playing it.
I'm curious. Well, I can't figure this out, and I'm trying to peg it. I'm going to give a little bit more time to think about. But I did finally play the online multiplayer. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to be playing with a bunch of people who either paid way too much for the system, well, no matter what, you paid too much for the system, but paid way, way too much for the system.
Probably.
Or, you know,
waited way too long.
Are so money that they really wanted to play it and not eBay it, right? So I'm playing with only these rich snotty kids.
You may be playing with celebrities.
Very possible, right? And so I played the game online, and honestly, it has some features I really like online, and the maps are gigundous, man. They are huge. Unfortunately, you're not playing with friends because really nobody owns the PS3 right now. So you're playing with a bunch of people you don't know. And it's
P. Diddy and Madonna.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't playing team stuff. I was just playing. Well, actually, no, I was. It was team deathmatch, right? So still, it was crazy. You just run around and shoot stuff. And it's one of those fast-paced multiplayer games. Not so much like Halo where, although there can be a fast pace, there could be a little bit more thought and team activity involved. At least the level I played and the type of game I played, it was very just run around, shoot a guy, respawn, run around, shoot a guy, over and over and over. Which is cool. I like that.
Did you see anything mindless, like characteristically different online from like what the players were doing that you didn't see in the multiplayer? Or was it just like...
Well, there were no players to consider in the single player, so I can't really make that.
That's right, you didn't play online.
No, I did play online. This is what I'm talking about. But I couldn't compare how they act online to how they play offline because I didn't see anybody else play offline other than myself.
I'm going to put this crack pipe down because I think it's...
All right, good. All right, so anyway, that's the only game I have for the PS3 other than the demo of MotorStorm that I can play. I'm curious what other people think about it, though, because I have real mixed feelings. Like, I can't figure out what made me want to play the whole thing. It was probably... mostly due to the fact that I had time on my hands.
Yeah, and actually, I have a question for everyone else out there because I've been trying to read reviews about Ridge Racer 7, and apparently at least all the venues that I read reviews at, they're very, very conveniently avoiding any comparisons to the 360 version. And you know, a lot of us have seen these screenshots, these Comparo screenshots that have been circulating the web where... you know, Ridge Racer 7 versus Ridge Racer 6, and they're virtually the same screenshots. So are they actually, do they have the temerity to release a new game calling it Ridge Racer 7 and have it not really be a new game?
I don't know. I haven't played, you know what, I haven't even played either of them. I played 6 at your house for like a minute, so I would have no way to even determine
so
if it was the same
game. If anyone knows the answer to this, because I really don't want to buy a PS3 and buy the game to find out, please call in.
One of these days you'll have a PS3. If we can figure out how to get you one for free, I think it's about the only way, but we'll figure it out one day.
Or without...
It's a lot of games. I finally sat down and played some Trauma Center, finally opened up Zelda and played it. A lot of games. I finally sat down and played some Trauma Center, finally opened up Zelda and played it. By the way, got stuck on Zelda. It took me 3 days to catch a fish. 3 real-life, actual human Earth days.
Okay, now I'm really curious to hear this because I think that I had a very similar experience in Ocarina of Time with also catching a fish.
Zelda's one of those games, man, where you might not realize it, but it's very linear in that you have to do this before you can do this, before you can get this, before you can move on to this next,
right,
you know, scripted scene.
It's kind of like this trickery, like they make you... think that it's not really happening in that order, but it's really just this very prescribed.
Ironically, the original Legend of Zelda, less linear. And I haven't played through enough of this one to know if it really is as linear as I'm claiming.
And that's another topic we can talk about later.
But in the original one, you didn't have to do all of the dungeons in order. Certainly some of them you had to do first, because like you had to get the raft from one dungeon before you could go to dungeon 4 that needed the raft and all that. But
right.
This one, at least the first portion of the game, the part that I've played, very much like... you've got to get the cat to run into the shop so that you can get the slingshot to play with the kids. But how do you get the cat to run in the shop? Well, you got to catch the fish. You got to get the fishing rod. How do you get the fishing rod? Well, you got to talk to the mother of the kid because he made you a fishing. Like, so you got to do this to do this to do this to do this. And so I couldn't catch a fish. And there was no explanation on exactly how to do it. Like, you've got the remote, you know, you have to physically lower so that it lowers into the water and the bobber starts bobbing, and it starts bobbing. Now, I would think to myself, there would be some sort of notification that a fish has hit your hook, right? There's vibration in the controller. Sure. There's probably going to be vibration, right? There might be something on the screen that says, well, look at that. There's a fish on your hook. But no, there isn't. You leave it in there, and I left it in there for like 5 minutes while I then went to GameFAQs to learn how to use the damn fishing rod. On the third day, mind you, after trying several times. So here's how you do it.
Did you get any bait?
No bait? I was thinking about bait, but there was nowhere to get bait. Right?
No bait in Tackle Shop in Zelda.
You can get bait, and I now have bait. But in this first part, you can't get bait. And this is part of the fact that you can't get it because you can't buy anything in the shop because the lady needs her cat, and you can't get the cat.
Okay, the fish,
you need to fish to get the fish for the cat. So anyway, I lowered into the water. The bobber starts bobbing, and I thought, okay, that's valid. It's bobbing. Good.
Did you try the Konami code?
No. Nothing happened. And what you have to actually pull it out of the water real fast. So the fishing rod pulls out of the water, right? And hope that you have a fish on the end of it. And then it says, oh, you got a fish. And then you start like reeling it in.
Oh, that's terrible.
But you have to take a major action that nobody tells you have to do.
Yeah.
So that you can get this fish. Never explained. Even in the manual. Really bothered me. 3 days, guys, I wasn't playing Zelda because of this.
That's annoying. I got a similar thing to relate when we come back.
Yeah, call if you have any stories to tell. We'll be back after the break.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And we've got Andrew back there behind the glass doing the thing that he does so well.
Is that, you think that's glass or like plastic Lexan?
You want to
knock on it, Andrew? It's thick glass if it's glass.
Oh, yeah. Only the best here at KFNX.
It's got to be soundproofed like your study.
All right, so you were talking about before we went on break
about fishing. And everybody on the chat is making fun of me for not being able to fish.
No, well,
they all suck, by the way.
No,
I don't know how they know how to do it.
This is really funny because, I mean, they'll probably start making fun of me too, but when Ocarina of Time came out, right, there was this incident, there was this part of the game where, you know, you had to, you know, catch a fish to get some event triggered, right, in order to continue on with the game.
Yeah.
And this was the part that I got stuck on. And, you know, you have these bottles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can do a lot of different things with
there,
these bottles.
There are bottles in Twilight Princess as well, by the way. They didn't forego that little detail.
Yeah, and you know, you can scoop, you know, fairies up with it and whatnot. And, you know, something that took me, I don't know how long to figure out, because there was just, like, this mental disconnect there, which I think that, you know, even though, you know, your friend on the chat line took him 5 minutes to figure out, you know, I think that a lot of people had trouble with this too. Apparently, to catch a fish and you have an empty bottle, all you do is you go up to it and use the bottle. But, you know, just like the issue
There is a pull in Ocarina, according to the chat room.
Okay. So that was... I didn't have the pull at that time. I guess. This is like a distant memory. So
we're talking about, like, a long time ago.
Right, but... The point is that there was no indication in the game that, okay, you're near a fish, now suddenly, right, the use button, all it indicates to you is, yes, you press this button to use your item, which is the bottle.
And herein lies the good and bad of Zelda, though. And I think this is something I explained in the past, that maybe not on the air, but I got stuck in Zelda, same thing. Couldn't get past this, like, early in the game, first dungeon, or out of some room, or open a door or something. And this happened to me in Ocarina of Time, because you had to light... something on fire, and I thought, I don't have anything to produce fire. I was in a dungeon with fire. What you had to do is take a wooden stick near an existing flame, catch it on fire, and I was stuck in my adult mindset that had learned earlier on in life that you can't do that in a video game because it's too complex. And in this video game, you could do it. And so for Zelda, I really have to open up my mind and accept that there's things I'm not used to in video games that they have built into the game.
Right. Now, this is really frustrating, and I think one of the reasons why is because all of the functions in the game are so contextually sensitive that the game doesn't really do much to help you in the regard of, like, telling you, okay, well, now in this context, right, you've used the bottle in every other context to mean this. Now in this context, the bottle actually has a different function. And, you know, some people make this leap and, you know, make that connection, and other people don't. And it's really kind of like, this is a design issue. You know, this is one of those things where it's like, okay, half the people get it right away, the other half the people don't get it right away.
But I think that's part of the thing. They want to make it a puzzle. And so,
well,
like, that's
this
the
is what I disagree with.
Kids do very well at this.
Right. Well, maybe. But that's what I mean, I really disagree with that, because I think that part of the puzzle should be, you know, this is like a lateral thinking puzzle, and I've never liked lateral thinking puzzles. And by lateral thinking, I mean you have to make some kind of connection outside of, you know, all the resources you have in order to figure something out. In other words, you know, you're doing this thing, and, you know, you didn't even – the people who can't figure it out can't figure it out because that information is not available to them. They don't believe that it's something that's even, you know, in the pool of, I can consider this to be an option.
Now,
so it's kind of unfair in a lot of ways.
Let me use what you just said here to explain an experience I had in Trauma Center. Now, in the Trauma Center Second Opinion for the Wii, this was probably one of my greatest video game moments in a long time. And it was so subtle and so nothing, right? But it happened just a few days ago. I'm playing Trauma Center.
Yeah.
And I'm told, and I haven't played the one on the DS, I'm told that it's very similar to the DS version, except there's some added missions, right? And there is a part where you act as a new surgeon, right? In this game, you perform surgeries on people.
Are you saying this is like another game that's a sequel that isn't really?
This is very much like half sequel. But because of the interface difference, you can understand why it was legit to make a whole new version.
Maybe.
But anyway, so you're one of these extra missions, right? It uses the functionality that's not available on the DS. And surely you could do it, but way cooler on the Wii. Because
uh-huh.
What you gotta do is you extract bits of bones from this guy's arm, who his bone is totally shattered, right? And so you pull all these bits of the bone out, and the edges of them are angled very specifically like puzzle pieces, right?
Okay.
Could be considered that way anyway. So then you have to replace them back, but in the right spots, rather than just a jumble of bones in this guy's arm.
This is exactly what surgeons do.
Of course. Right. So anyway, you have to pull it over there, but, well, what do you do with it, right? Because you have to twist it, right? So you have to actually, you hold it by pressing a couple buttons on the Wiimote, and then you twist your Wiimote. In midair, you twist it like a screwdriver would, right?
Uh-huh.
And it actually turns the piece on the screen. So it's like, it's not just moving it on the screen like a mouse. You can't even do this with a mouse. A mouse, you can move your pointer, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool.
But this is extra input where I'm actually twisting, and I'm like, that's something I can't do with any other system without manipulating and pretending by, like, holding buttons down. But this is totally, like, the fact that I'm holding a remote for the Wii makes this a valid part of the game. Because if it was any other game, it would just be a silly little thing I've got to do by pressing buttons to twist something.
Oh, that's very smart. My question to you is that, you know, did the game give you an indication that this was something you could do?
She specifically said you're going to have to turn them to put them in place, but they didn't say twist your Wiimote, which I'm glad that they didn't do that. Like, they didn't make it that obvious.
Right. Well, as long as there's enough of a hint there for you to make that mental connection, then I would say that was an adequate design.
Well, and the thing is, a year from now, no one would even need to hint at that because it'll be so obvious after having used the machine for so long. But since it was basically the first game I played on the system,
sure.
then I'm introduced to this new concept, this new way of thinking that, wait a minute, I can do more. And just today I played a new mission where I had to defuse a bomb, right? And so you have to unscrew a plate on the bomb. And you turn the Wiimote. And I actually found it easier if I hold it like a screwdriver and I twist it to unscrew these screws.
Nice.
In midair. It was such a cool feeling to be doing something on the Wii that you literally can't do with another system.
So I'm really glad you brought this up, actually, because this is a nice segue into what I wanted to talk about.
And that's why I brought it up. Working together.
We're a team. What can I say?
Of course.
So last week I didn't get to give impressions of the Wii that we played. So, you know, what you're describing is, I think, exactly what, you know, has reinvigorated my passion for this system, because this is something that's categorically new that they're offering. You know, this isn't just, okay, just more games and more graphics. There's, I don't know if any of you guys have visited the official Wii Nintendo site, which is wii.nintendo.com, But there's this Iwata Asks section on there that one of my friends told me about. And basically they have Iwata is interviewing a whole bunch of people who worked on the Wii. And it's incredibly insightful. I mean, I understand this is like official propaganda, but it's incredibly insightful for official propaganda. So I highly recommend everyone go read it. I wanted to read a paragraph from there. One of the managers of the R&D division there, his name's Genyo Takada, he said this about developing the Wii hardware. He said, "This may sound paradoxical, but if we had followed existing roadmaps, we would have aimed to make it, quote, faster and flashier. In other words, we would have tried to improve the speed at which it displays stunning graphics, but we could not help but ask ourselves, how big an impact would that direction really have on our customers? During development, we came to realize the sheer inefficiency of this path when we compared the hardships and costs of development against any new experiences that might be had by our customers." And this is something that Jason Rubin had been talking about in, you know, conferences in the past, which is, you know what, guys? There's a limit to how much enjoyment sheer graphics can give you. And yeah, I just,
you think we got to do something different.
And I think it's so flippin' smart of Nintendo to have this foresight.
Yeah. We are going to get right back to that after the break, everybody. Stay tuned.
Mario, you're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
Welcome back to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, everyone. Got to remind you to head over to uat.edu. That's the website for the University of Advancing Technology. I went there myself, and Ara only wishes that he had that sort of education before going on to work at Rainbow Studios, as he does these days. Where did you go, Ara? What did you do for...
University of Maryland.
University of Maryland.
Yes.
That's far away.
Computer science.
Yeah.
Basically, I was like, what was the hardest possible thing I could do? Most bone-crushing programming. Yes,
and then not use science. When I have a job.
Well, of course, that's a prerequisite.
Yeah, that you don't use your degree. I've done that myself a couple of times. I know what you were thinking. All right, so before we move on and start talking about our Wii stuff again, I got to point out, everyone on the chat here, when they go to chatterboxgameshow.com and join in the live chat, they're talking about how we go off topic, like I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
One of them was like, guys, that's the show. And I salute you, sir, Tonjevic in Australia. You're absolutely right, because that's the show. That's what we do. As long as we talk about video games, hey, we're on topic.
And the other thing, too, that I thought was hilarious was that, I mean, you guys can't appreciate the pure sublimeness of the last segment, because we actually did plan all these topics that we talked about, and it was just very, very nicely segued into each other. Just
yeah,
like
a portion of our listenership. We have a lot of people who don't listen live because they listen through the podcast, and we appreciate you, and we know that you're all on our side. Portion of our listenership. We have a lot of people who don't listen live because they listen through the podcast, and we appreciate you, and we know that you're all on our side.
Small but very vocal.
Yes. And most of you are not the ones who reported to us that the PS3 really does have six axes of movement, and so we're going to talk about that a little later, too. But pick up the flow here, because I forgot where we left off.
Yeah, so I wanted to get back into something that I was talking about the last show, and we actually just ran out of time. Which is truth in games advertising.
Wait, are we dumping the Wii discussion?
Well, I didn't have anything else to say. I don't know if you have anything else to say about
that. I kind of ran out of steam, too.
All right, so let's talk about this games thing.
All right.
So, I'm just going to pick off where I left off in that last show, because that was...
We got to recap a little bit here. First of all, what are we talking about?
Well, we were talking about, like, Gears of War and that ad.
Yes, which, by the way, has escalated the song in the ad to number one in iTunes. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I went to your friend's MySpace page before work today. Your friendly neighborhood friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her song, Mad World, R.E.M. her MySpace
okay,
page.
Okay, so now that we're on that thing, I have to say, hey, everybody, the original Tears for Fears version, much, much better than this lame-o cover.
Ironically, that never hit number one.
Way better. Okay, so, one of the things I thought was interesting, which this isn't the best example of this, but, I mean... okay, so they're showing it in the theater, right? And They're showing it at this massive theater resolution, which is definitely not what you'll ever experience playing the game, right? So you have some impression of what the game is about, right? But in some ways, it's kind of like a dishonest representation of the game because, you know, they're showing it at this massive resolution. And, you know, I don't know if it was probably done with, like, extra effects that you wouldn't get in the game or not. I mean, let's be nice to them and assume that it did.
I don't think so.
Right? But, you know, there's a lot of other examples of this, you know, where... You know, in advertising games in general, they show, and this is also includes PR, like when they release screenshots, right? They show things that aren't not necessarily exactly honestly representative of what you get when you play the game.
Case in point, EA's Marvel games.
There's that. You know, there was an incident a while back about, I think, one of the Amped games where they actually added effects to screenshots that they released that were not in the game.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, I think there was like some kind of Photoshop lens flare or something. I mean, it happens, right? And, you know, it happens over and over and over. And, you know, I don't know what kind of effect it's having on the industry overall, but I can tell you the personal effect it has on me, which is, you know, the hype is just, I'm so desensitized to it. It's almost meaningless to me now. I mean, I've bought into this hype so many times, and I'm just consequently let down over and over and over. I mean, this is going back to like China Warrior, where they're like, "Oh, look how big the characters are." And like,
so unless it's Ridge Racer, you have to see real screens.
Well, you know, it's. I mean, I want to play the game now, right? Like, I mean, screenshots. I'm like, okay, well,
you're
that's
saying
the
you
screenshot.
Want to play Gears of War.
I want to play any game before I make any decision about it, right? I can't get excited about games until I actually play them.
Let me tell you, the funny thing is that Gears of War, actually, no matter what you show of it, because just of the way the game works. I don't think there's any valid visual representation of that game. You have to play it to understand what
that's,
makes it good.
That is a great point, and that's exactly what I wanted to segue to as well. And I definitely need to tell anybody who works in game advertising or PR, you guys, you're doing way too good a job. You make the games look like the greatest thing on earth. When I finally get my hands on them, I find my hands wrapping themselves around my neck instead.
Yeah.
So please, for the love of God, take an extended vacation, work less hours, I don't know, give your intern something to do, just please stop making the games look so good.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things what we should hand it to the people who make the commercial for the Wii. Have you seen the Wii commercials?
I don't know, I think I saw one of them, one of the really early ones, but not like, I don't watch TVs.
In a complete separation from what we're discussing now, the Wii commercials barely even show the games. All you're seeing are the people playing it and the way you control it,
which
is great. Of course, I think they're perhaps more exuberant than they need to be while playing, but no more exuberant than I am when actually playing.
Yeah, so this is really interesting because I started thinking about this and I'm like, okay, well, you know, why is there's this kind of disconnect, right, with like what they show and like in representing the game and what you experience in the game. And I think that it's primarily because most of the negative emotions that we can experience in playing games arises to some kind of problem due to some kind of problem in the interface design or our own lack of performance in the game. You know, both of those things only exist because there's interactivity, and there's no interactivity in the advertising.
Yeah.
So since the ads can't give you that picture of, you know, where the gameplay can frustrate you or what negative aspect of the game can kind of like influence you, you're not even made to think about those parts of the game.
Well, not only that, you're given a minute. At most, usually you're having 15 or 30 seconds.
Right, and I'm not saying
express.
That like people like, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they should do things differently, right? Because I mean, yes, obviously, advertising's point is to make the game look as good as possible, and if they do that, they do their job.
Yeah, the thing is, they focus on different aspects. Like I've said many times before that I have a friend who works in marketing at EA, right? And he's pointed out to me that when they were doing the Lord of the Rings games, like their, I don't know if you want to call it the hook, but like
right. The
line they used or their train of thought in advertising all the Lord of the Rings games were to get the viewer to feel like they are actually playing the character, right? Because it's
right. The
games weren't necessarily role playing, although
you're,
they tried
you're
to swing
in the movie, perhaps.
That you are the character, like you be the character, you are whatever the hell their names were. I was never a huge Lord of the Rings fan, right?
You're Frodo.
Legolas and...
I always wanted to be Frodo.
Whatever, right? So, like, be the hero was the tagline. I think that was actually their actual advertising tagline.
With those
be
hairy
the hero.
Feet.
Sure. I can't remember if that was actually it, but that was the point, right?
Yeah.
And that's the first thing they do. They sit around and they decide, all right, for this game or this series of games, what is the main idea we want to focus on to pitch this. And then all of the advertising will stem from this one, like, droplet, this one idea. Be the hero. Okay, fine. Every advertising bit we do for this series of games is going to be related to how do we make the person be the hero? It's that one thought, right? And so for Ridge Racer ads, which there really aren't many of, I'm sure it would have something to do with the racing. Or Gran Turismo, it's the realism. Look at how real our game is.
And, right.
You know, I haven't been inside the heads of those advertisers, but they focus on that. And what I mean is they focus on the one bit that they want to focus on. And for a lot of games lately, in the last several years, that's been graphics. And what pisses me off about some games, and EA Marvel games are my best example as of late, their Marvel games, their ads, were a bunch of CG animated sequences of people fighting. Had not a single screen of the real game. It had nothing to do with the game. So any kid who decided he wanted to play that game based off the advertising was completely blindly going into that game. Forget reviews.
Yep.
Forget screenshots and possible actual graphics. Forget gameplay. Forget anything to do with the reality of the $50 investment in that game. 50 or 60 or 40 or depending on the system you buy. It had nothing to do with the game, not even remotely. And that pissed me off.
Actually, you know what I think is preferable to doing stuff like that is, you know, there's kind of two approaches you can take with this game advertising, right? And one of them is a lot of advertisers don't even try to show you what the game is like. They try to kind of capture the feeling and the essence of the game. The thing that comes to mind immediately is, you know, those Game Boy Advance commercials where they showed, you know, somebody's playing their Game Boy Advance and, you know, the camera's kind of rotating around them and there's all these fanciful kind of like graphics like that show the characters kind of like jumping in and out of the scene. And they're not the game graphics. They're not saying this is what the game's like. They're trying to convey like kind of like what the spirit of the game's all about. And I think that that's actually far preferable.
No, in some cases, that's valid. For a role-playing game or you know what, for the Lord of the Rings games, I think the Be the Hero tagline was great because they actually followed it up with games that weren't absolute crap. I mean, that's kind of a prerequisite, right? But in addition,
what,
like,
the Lord of the Rings games?
Yeah.
Speak for yourself.
A lot of people really liked them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they were great, right? And I don't think anyone was a huge fan of their tactical strategy game. But the main two or three that came out, people were very happy with, and they did really well, right? And to say Be the Hero, it was kind of role-playing-ish. They tried to steer the games in that direction. And with role-playing, you are trying to be the character, right? And so even if they're not showing the graphics of the game, if they're talking about the story and how you feel like you're creating this story by playing the game, that's great, right? And so that was an appropriate advertising method, I felt.
Yeah.
Other things, like EA's Marvel advertising, totally inappropriate, and I wish they'd take a hike, and I'd rather them not advertise it at all.
So if you've got an opinion about this, please call in. It's 866-536-1100.
Yeah. The funny thing is, apparently the EA Marvel game that came out last year, right, absolute crap, so they had to make it look good with funky graphics.
There you
anyway,
go.
Anyway, we'll be back after the break, everyone.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Ara.
I'm Alon.
And we have Andrew back there manning the secret bunker.
Manning the phones, taking care of the nut job we got who keeps calling the station.
How long has he been calling for?
I don't know. We keep hearing him in our headphones, though. I'll tell you what, it's a good thing that we have a break in between so we can sort of vent about what goes on in the station sometimes, weird stuff like that. And to make sure that we don't continue talking about the same topic for a whole show, because I have a feeling we would do that if given the opportunity. Before we continue, though, once again, got to mention uat.edu. Head over there. That's uat.edu, website for the University of Advancing Technology, where you can learn to get into the video game industry through development. All right, so we talked about truth in advertising and how we kind of both... I have mixed feelings about it, right? They definitely could do a better job. No one, I think, would disagree with that. But I'm ready to move on.
Go for it.
Something I said I wanted to talk about in today's show is the irresponsibility that Sony showed in releasing the system. And their PS3, I mean.
Sony irresponsible? Never.
Yeah.
How could that be?
Right. And like I said, I've talked about this before, but not enough. Like, you put more thought into it. You see some more time go by and how they released it and how...
Yeah, I want to hear from you what you got from me today.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, first of all, they keep lying about it. They changed their stance on what the system was going to be physically, like what was going to be in it several times, right? They finally decide and they finally release numbers. Okay, we're going to have this many released. And what I hate is they're just decision to flat out lie. They said they were going to have so many. And from the very beginning, myself and I'm sure many others were like, that's complete BS. They're not going to have that many, right? And then time goes by and they say, oh, we're going to have less now, right? Okay, so 500,000 instead of 1,000,000, right? Okay, good. And then it actually releases and they have probably half of what they claimed was half of what they originally claimed they would have. And I imagine the reason they have to say they're going to have enough is so that publishers will actually want to release the game.
Yeah, that will really burn publishers, though, because...
Yeah, exactly. Even if they sold a game one-to-one with these systems, it doesn't matter because they still only sold 200,000 copies of the game. And
was it you who actually told me the statistic that there's actually more consoles sold than games in Japan or something?
I did not tell you that.
Yeah, somebody told me this. Don't know if it's true or not, but
that's
very funny.
Although in Japan, they buy stuff for, you know, the PS2 increased DVD sales huge in Japan. And I mean, it helped here too, but it was a very noticeable difference. So they might be buying it for the Blu-ray just in Japan. Anyway, my point is they didn't release enough, right? So that's one irresponsibility. People or companies produce hype all the time with video game things and other entertainment media, right?
Yep.
But the scarcity that they have produced is just irresponsible in producing the lines, producing...
Well, that's a valid complaint.
Yeah, scarcity at retailers, right? Telling retailers they'll have so many, taking money from people, and then not producing on their pre-orders. That's irresponsible. Screwing over the publishers and developers and anybody else who gets money, you know, in the downline from the sales of these games. Completely irresponsible. Beyond that, they should have just waited and released the system later when they would have had more time to develop every facet of it, right? Don't release it this Christmas when it's going to create all these problems. And you're not even going to have it out there for people to have. So now I had more ideas really concrete in my head than I have now. It's a little bit disturbing.
There were all the shootings and the dislocated jaws.
Yeah, I mean, they can't really account for that. But I still think it's not right of them to have released it with so few. It's just silly for them, too. What are they gonna do? They're losing so much money. And there's these people talking about how Microsoft, they're not going to be in the black until, like, 2008, supposedly, if they're on track with their Xbox division. But how Nintendo makes money from day one, right? You know what? All of us playing their games, we're doing better than Microsoft. And we're doing way better than Sony in terms of their video game divisions right now. Well, Sony makes more money on their other software from PS2. But concerning PS3, we're doing better because, you know what? We didn't make a video game system. We're not in debt for millions of dollars for this division. And it's hurting themselves. And what's weird, too, is that, like, I think about how the PS3 was developed. I thought, okay, they went to very anti-Sony, and they allowed for a lot of standards, right? The USB standard on the PS3. Memory cards that aren't memory sticks are standard on PS3. They allowed Linux to be run on their machine from day one, which has already allowed people to rip images of the Blu-ray discs onto the hard drive of the PS3, right? Which is going to lead to more hacking.
Yeah, got to have that functionality, right, Sony?
Yeah, actually, the Linux thing is great. I'm really glad they did.
I think it's wonderful.
But it's weird that they
I
have all
think
these...
I think it's ironic.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons they did it was to avoid development costs and development time. And I'm all for that. I'm all for the standards, right? And making sure they only pay attention to developing and R&D where they actually need to, and letting the standards run free, you know, Bluetooth, standard memory cards, standard hard disk, Wi-Fi built in instead of having their own funky Wi-Fi, right? And that's cool. I respect that. But I also kind of wonder if it's simply because they didn't think they had enough time to do it. But the fact that they released the system was
not enough. Well, I'm sure
there
was an enormous time pressure. I mean, it's obvious they were rushing, right?
Yeah, it's just silly. And now we've got, like, the IRS down our backs because of eBay sales. People are making so much money on eBay that the IRS is coming after people. Or claiming they're going to come after people if you don't report. It's just ridiculous. And I'm very upset at Sony for being this irresponsible. And they show the same lack of thought when you look at the controller and, okay, they had a lawsuit. Now they don't release the controller with Rumble built in, right? There's all these things. Every bit of their release was just bungled. And then the games they released, there's been all this talk on joystick.com and probably other sites about launch lineup of new video game systems, right? And the PS2 and PS3 way at the bottom of the list. And the PlayStation, I think, was like one of the worst, if not the worst, right? Their games, you add up...
Well, how do you measure that? What, like in sales or...
Well, you take Metacritic average score for all the games that released at launch, and you create an average of the averages and say, all right, the average game was like a 74, right? Whereas Dreamcast had an average launch lineup of this percentage.
I'm not going to comment too much about that because I think all that's just BS anyway. But
well, there's a lot of outliers because there's so few, such a small sample size.
PS1 launch was pretty good, though.
Excuse me, it had Battle Arena, Toshinden, and it had Ridge Racer.
Okay, Ridge Racer
was good.
Toshinden was, you know, like decent for what it was,
at
right?
The time.
You know, I mean, like, Wipeout wasn't exactly... I mean, Wipeout was
it
around
also had
then,
like,
right? Wipeout's fantastic.
Wipeout was not launch.
It's
and,
pretty close, though, right?
But it wasn't launch. And it also...
Air Combat,
I don't think it was launch either. But there was, like, Total Eclipse.
Okay. Cyber Sled.
Cyber Sled was good in the arcade.
No, that was crap.
If they allowed dual analog on Cyber Sled, it would have been great. But anyway, so, like, Sony, again, they screwed over their publishers. They screwed everything. The resolution on the thing. They announce high resolution 1080p, the real wave of HD.
Yeah.
And then the majority of their games can't even do that. Not only that, they can't do 1080i even, which the Xbox 360 can do.
Yeah, that was definitely a debacle territory.
Every bit
I agree.
Of their launch has been bungled. And I just think, I can't overuse the word, it was just irresponsible on their part as a developer. And they're just going to piss off publishers. And I hope in the future that they think about this ahead of time. And what worries me is that I know that they've been working on this for years, and they got caught, and they had to release it, and they should have had the people sit down and say, you know what, we're just not ready, we just shouldn't release it, it's better for everyone. And someone, because it's a publicly traded company, decided we're going to lose too much face if we delay again, and that's BS. Do the right thing, Sony, I've said this before.
Maybe it's just the trademark greed and avarice.
Meanwhile, I enjoyed Resistance.
There you go. So, yeah. Next... episode, we're going to have a special guest.
Yeah, we're going to have a guest who worked on what game?
Thrill Kill, which never came out.
Never officially came out, but people have if you download it.
Very controversial. It's going to be a lot of fun.
He's going to be in studio because you work with him.
That's
right.
We got
to go because the music's telling us to go. But yeah, we'll have the guy from Thrill Kill, one of the guys who worked on Thrill Kill, in studio next week. Stay tuned, everyone.
Take care, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.